it's Independence Day. Doesn't happen all that often that that's on Sunday. At least not according to our calendar. But in truth, every Sunday is a day of independence. At the same time, it's a day of declaration of dependence. For on this day, not according to our national calendar, but according to our biblical calendar, is the day that our independence from sin was won. The day that our freedom was realized. The day that our true freedom was realized. Because it was on that Sunday morning that the bondage to a kingdom, the bondage to a slavery, was set free. Because Christ won the victory. Because Christ declared us free. Because Christ overcame the only thing that the kingdom of darkness really held over us, and that was death and destruction and separation. We're on the cross, and punctuated by the resurrection, all of that was defeated. So today, I pray that we celebrate both independence from that which held us in bondage, but also dependence upon the only one who that can give us life. In John's gospel, the gospel begins with this declaration that there was one that came, one that was God and that was with God, and that we had the privilege of beholding His glory. In that first chapter of John, there's this declaration that He came and was the light. And he changed the economy, changed the reality that most all of human history was living under, that they were living under this kingdom that was not complete. Even for the Israelites, who were the chosen people of God, were held in bondage to their own sin and the effects of the law. Jesus came and set up a new kingdom, taught us to pray about that kingdom. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Called us to live as children of that kingdom, no longer to be a part of this kingdom, but to focus our attention and our heart's desire upon His kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, one that would last forever, one that would transform our lives here. And then in John chapter 8, that distinction or that difference becomes even more apparent. Verse 12 of chapter 8, we find Jesus saying these things. Then says that He spoke to them again, saying, I, that is Jesus, am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And with those words and others throughout Scripture, particularly some of Jesus' words, He reminds us that there really is two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. And from the very beginning, there was set up a kingdom of light. That's what God's declaration was it not? Let there be light. And He made that declaration, and He established this world, this kingdom, upon that principle, a principle of light, of truth. There was one that had already lived in that kingdom and had rebelled against that kingdom. Satan himself had set himself up as a messenger in in contention with God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to have all the authority of God, and he separated himself from that. He chose darkness over light. And then his deception, his craftiness led the first humans, the first man and woman to walk upon the face of the earth that were created in the image of God, that had all of the benefits and the bounty of the kingdom of light. He deceived them, and they bought the deception. They bought the lies. The kingdom of light was a kingdom of truth, and they bought into the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of deception. And in that choice, they separated themselves. They removed themselves from the presence of God. That beautiful portrait and picture we find in Genesis, where in the cool of the day, God would come and walk with them and commune with them. And then after the fall, after sin, it wasn't that God removed himself from them. Remember the story? God still comes just like he had before. He came to meet with them the same way he had before. And it was Adam and Eve that, because of their sin, because of their choice, they hid themselves from God. But Jesus came. Jesus came to reestablish, to declare here on earth that there can be a kingdom of light. He came as the light. He came as one bearing the light, bearing the truth. And again, here in verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a powerful declaration that Jesus came and declared to us here on earth that I am the light, and I've come to proclaim a kingdom of light, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. That's freedom. That's transformative. Now, there are those that even among the religious community, or maybe particularly, especially among it, didn't buy that. Verse 13 says, "So the Pharisees said to him, 'You're testifying about yourself, and your testimony is not valid.'" Can you imagine God in the flesh standing before you, declaring truth, and you want to argue with him? You want to disagree. You want to tell him, you don't know what you're talking about. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. They said, you're claiming something that's not true. How did they know? Jesus confronts them with that. And he says, well, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is valid. First of all, guys, you don't know what you're talking about. My testimony about myself is valid because I'm truth. I am God. Now, they couldn't grasp that. They were having a hard time understanding that. But he says, my testimony is valid because I know where I came from and where I'm going. And then he says, do you? Jesus knew where he came from, not just from Mary's womb. He knew where he came from. He knew who his father was. He knew where his existence before time was. He knows where he came from, and he knows where he's going back to. The Pharisees are trying to figure that out. Jesus says, I already know that. So my testimony is valid. It's true because I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. You don't need to know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards, though I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true because I'm not alone, but I and the Father who sent me judge together. Now, that was a bold proclamation. And if it's not true, then it's heresy. It is. I mean, the Pharisees were right in the sense that if Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and he wasn't, then it would be heresy. But because he was from the beginning, again, the Gospel of John, that which was from the beginning has become flesh. Because he is the only begotten of God, because he is the Son of God, because he was there. When God said, let there be light, Jesus is the Word of God. We find in the Gospel of John that all creation came through the Word of God, through Jesus. So when God said, let there be light, it was Jesus, the Word of God, that was making that declaration. All creation is a product of His. So He's making a proclamation here that I and the Father are one. And when God said, "Let there be light," that was me. That testimony. The Father who sent me, He and I judge together. Even if your law, even in your law, it is written that the witness of two men is valid. He's making a case. He's using their own legal code, their own law to remind them. He says, "I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me as well." And just a few chapters later, Jesus is going to make that declaration. He's going to pray, and He's going to say, "God, glorify Yourself." And God says, "I already have. my spirit, my word, my declaration is in unison with You." Then they ask Him, "Well, where is Your Father?" Which, therein lies the problem. Here, remember Jesus had the conversation with Nicodemus and says, you're supposed to be the teachers. Everybody understands. You don't even know where things begin. You don't know where the wind comes from. You can't read the signs of the time. You don't understand the spiritual truths that God has right before you. Standing right before your eyes is the Son of God, and you're still missing it. And here, they, where is Your Father? Jesus has been telling them all along. They miss it, and He says that. You know neither me nor my Father. For if you knew me, you would also know my Father. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. And then He said to them, "I'm going away, and you'll look for me, and you will die in your sin, for where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said again, He won't kill Himself, will He? Since He says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." They're constantly just missing the truth. They're just missing the point. Jesus starts out by saying, "I'm the light," and they go into this circular reason, circular conversation, trying to trap Him, and they miss the fact that the Son of God Himself is standing before Him. He's given testimony of that, and if they had spiritual eyes or spiritual understanding, they would understand that. They would receive that. Now they're confused. Is he going to take His own life? Why is He saying this? "Where I'm going, you cannot come." And then Jesus says, "You are from below." Or another way of saying that, you're from the kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of heaven, there's a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of earth. You're from below. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins, for you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. You know, having your citizenship matters. Knowing where you're from matters. In today's world, knowing your citizenship and having validation of your citizenship matters. I can travel to places around the world because my citizenship, I have a passport, and when I travel, I use that to get a visa and I can travel there. But when I return, here's the beauty of it. When I return to the U.S., there are two lines when you get to the U.S. One is for citizens and one is for non-citizens. And I actually have a little extra privilege because I paid for it. I'm a global entry participant. And so not only do I get to go the line that's for citizens, I get to go the line that I paid a few extra bucks. And I walk up and I don't even show my passport. This is really scary. I walk up and I squat down like this and the camera focuses on my face and it prints out a thing. And I just walk through and I hand it to them and I just walk right on into the U.S. No questions asked. Because I'm a citizen of the United States. I have privilege because of that. When I return, when I come back to my nation, I have privilege in doing that. Knowing your citizenship, knowing what kingdom you belong to matters. Jesus is trying to communicate that to the Pharisees. The entrance into the eternal rest is based upon your citizenship. What kingdom are you a part of, or what king do you serve? You are from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, that I'm the King, that I'm the Creator of all the universe, if you do not believe I'm the Son of God, if you do not believe the things that I'm speaking to you, if you do not believe that, you will die in your sins. It's quite simply that basic. If you don't believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and that He paid the penalty on the cross, the only one that could satisfy the rights of the kingdom, unless you believe that it's Him, you will not enter. You'll not have eternal life. You will die, as He says here, in your sins. And again, they say, well, who are you? You know, I'm maybe as much as any, sometimes come down real hard on the Pharisees. It's just hard not to. I mean, we look at it from this side and go, what were they thinking? Why couldn't they get it? Yet oftentimes when I find myself saying those things, I'm reading Scripture, God says, hold on just a minute. And I'm moved from condemnation to grief and recognition of my own sin and my own rebellion against God, and have a little bit of compassion for who are they? Who are you? They question. They still don't get it. And sometimes when I find myself, being confused or not really grabbing a hold of the kingdom of light and dealing with some particular challenge in my life, I'm brought back to God saying, why do you still don't get it? Why are you still missing it? Even the disciples, remember the disciples were always confused? And they were still kind of struggling, even to the very end. Peter arguing with Jesus about what was to happen to him. The disciples still trying to figure out who was going to be first, who was going to sit here and who was going to sit there. They constantly were, this is the people that were closest to Him, were still missing it. Who are you? Jesus says, I'm precisely who and what I've been telling you from the very beginning. I have many things to say and to judge about. But the one who sent me is true. And what I've heard from Him, these things I tell the world. Jesus, again, as the light, as the truth, as the one that was coming to proclaim the truth of the kingdom. He says, I've been faithful to declare to you that which is true. And the truth is that there are two kingdoms, and you're going to be in one or the other of them. When the end comes, you will either live eternally in one or the other of those kingdoms. And I'm coming declaring to you truth that will free you from that, will gain your independence from this kingdom and put you in a dependent relationship in this kingdom, one that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords provides everything for you. For life and for godliness, will provide your salvation, will provide for you for all eternity. This kingdom is powerless. Oh, it wields some power temporarily, but ultimately it's powerless. This kingdom is built on deception. This kingdom is built on half-truths. This kingdom is built on promises that cannot be fulfilled. God's kingdom is built on eternal truth. God's kingdom is built on the character of God Himself. God's kingdom is built on His faithful provision. God's kingdom is built on promises that always come true. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from Him, these things I tell the world. He's not holding back. He's not guarding it. Here's some other verses that we find this same truth. In Acts 26, it says, it came to open their eyes so that they may turn from the darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Colossians 1:13, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, that is, the kingdom of light. And again, in 1 John, in Him was life. I'm sorry, in John 1, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. By the way, there was more than just two witnesses, right? I mean, John came proclaiming that this one that's coming is the Son of God, the Messiah. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through Him all might believe. He Himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. Though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, to become a part of the kingdom of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but from God. Who's your father? What kingdom do you belong to? Verse 27, chapter 8 says, they did not know He was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them very plainly, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own. So Jesus is, again, speaking forwardly or pronouncing that there will be a day when He's lifted up, and we know that to be on the cross. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own will. Think about that. Jesus, by His own declaration, by His own prayer in the garden, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. I mean, what a portrait, a picture of the Son and the Father being one, and a yieldedness, an understanding that God's intended plan has always been to redeem mankind by His own sacrifice. And He's proclaiming that here. For the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases Him. And that's what the Son of the Father does. That's what the Son of light and truth proclaims. In verse 30, it says, as He was saying these things, many believed in Him. What a time of rejoicing. Here, Jesus is making these proclamations. He's teaching this truth. And there are many religious leaders around. And there were many that believed in Him. And by inference, it seems that there are many, even of the Pharisees, many of those that were of the religious sect, were believing in Him. Because that's primarily His audience in this conversation. It's primarily who He's talking to. It says, many believed in Him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, so as those that are gathered around, those Jews that believed Him, He says this, if you continue in My Word, if you continue in My Word, you really are My disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a profound and yet simple statement. We know that to be true here on this earth. There's something about lies and deception that hold us into bondage. A lot of times when I talk to men, it's the secret sin, it's the hidden sin, it's those things that hold us in bondage. And even when you reveal, when the truth comes out, even if it's truth that for a momentary time hurts you or harms you, the truth has a way of setting you free. You're not hiding anymore. You're not running from something anymore. It's out there. And in the purest of senses, when the truth is standing before you and you believe the truth, you recognize that I'm sinful. I have bought into the kingdom of darkness. I've lived my life for the kingdom of darkness. And when the truth comes and I'm struck by the truth, by the Spirit of God revealing to me my own sin, exposing it, shining light upon it, when I agree with Him, you see, coming to the truth is understanding and recognizing that God alone is holy, and I'm not. And when I agree with Him, when my spirit confesses and says, yes, I am a sinner. I have separated myself from God by my own choice. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my kid's fault. It's not my boss's fault. By my own choice, I have chosen to rebel against God. And when I come in agreement with Him, well, what freedom comes with that? It's when we know the truth that we're set free. Because when we know the truth, we understand that I am separated from God. I need a Savior. And Jesus says, I am Him. Everyone who comes to the Father comes through me. And I have freedom. I step out of the kingdom of darkness. Oh, I still have to function in a world that is affected by the kingdom of darkness. But by my confession and because by my relationship with Christ, I step out of the kingdom of darkness and I step into the kingdom of light. And now I live as a citizen of the kingdom of light, still here, still dealing with the difficulties and the pains and the corruption of the kingdom of darkness, but I stand as a kingdom of the light. I'm no longer bound by that. When the enemy comes and speaks lies to me, I say, yeah, I get that. And you're right. In my flesh, that's exactly who I am. But in Christ, He told me I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. I'm no longer bound by that. Yes, I am by my flesh oftentimes want to operate in this kingdom, but because I am a kingdom, I live in the kingdom of light and I've been redeemed, that's no longer who I am. Instead, I've heard you and I've heard your lies long enough. By the grace of God, I'm listening to truth. My citizenship is here. My king. By the way, just in case you didn't know, he has already destroyed you. My king has already defeated you. My king has already won the victory. My king has overcome the grave. My king has overcome sin. My king has defeated you. And so you can get loud and you can throw all kinds of things at me, but I'm just telling you, my king has defeated you. My king has given me everything I need. My king has forgiven me. Well, thanks for reminding me about that sin, because that gives me an opportunity to praise God once again that He saved me from that. Thank you for bringing that up again, that choice that I made however many years ago, or even if it was last week. Thank you for reminding me for that, because when I'm reminded of that, I'm reminded of what Jesus died on the cross for me for that sin. Thank you for reminding me of that. You see that our praise of Him even overcomes the darkness. We no longer are bound by that. And yet too often, we allow the lies of the enemy to draw us back over here. We must be reminded, must be in the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to remind us that just as Jesus declared to these Jews that had just believed, these new believers, that if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Pharisees still have, but wait a minute, we're descendants of Abraham. They answer him, we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say this? Well, the enemy can deceive us so much that, again, even when the truth is right before us, we miss it. They're appealing to their ancestral history. We're children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. Which, by the way, was not entirely true. I mean, you know the history of Israel, right? I mean, they had functionally been slaves to just about everybody at this point. At one time or another. They were missing the real truth. They had been enslaved to sin from the beginning. How can you say you'll become free? Jesus responded, I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. If the Son sets you free, there's only one that can grant freedom. Someone that owns the household. Someone that's the leader of the kingdom. And a slave has no authority. But Jesus said, but the Son is always in the kingdom. And if the Son sets you free, you really are free. You really, really will be free. I know you're descendants of Abraham. You're trying to kill me because of my word. It is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. Therefore, you do what you have heard from your father. That's a pretty strong word, by the way. Wait a minute, our father's Abraham, they replied. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, you would do what Abraham did. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father's does. What your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Jesus said to him, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? I tell you the truth. Why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I'm a shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. And my sheep know my voice. They respond to my voice. And if we're not responding to His voice, if we're not responding to His call, His invitation to come, His invitation to yield, His invitation to come and know truth and to find freedom, then we're listening to another voice. And that voice is a voice of the kingdom of darkness. And too oftentimes, we allow Him way, way too much authority in our life. Any authority in our life is way too much. We allow Him to sow seeds of deception. We allow Him to tell us that this is who you are. And we forget the truth that says that you're children of the light. You've been redeemed. If you're a follower of Christ, you've been freed from that. There's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's none. So my challenge to us, my invitation for those that are in Christ. Now, by the way, there are some that maybe this morning you're sitting here and you've never stepped out of the kingdom of darkness. You've done some ritual things. Maybe you've come to church, you've done different things, but you've never really trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you've done things, you go, well, wait a minute, my parents, I've grown up in the church, I've done this. I mean, that's pharisaical language. That's saying, oh, I've done all these things. No, it's not anything that we do that removes us from the kingdom of darkness. It's what He has done, and us just accepting that as a free gift. This morning, if you've not stepped out of the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of light, today would be a great day. I look around, and I think most people here, I mean, I'm not trying to judge one way or another. I think most people here have done that, have chosen that. But too oftentimes, we go back as if we're living and we're functioning in that kingdom of darkness. Today, would you celebrate? We celebrate our freedom and we celebrate our independence as a nation. I pray that you can celebrate your freedom, your independence from the kingdom of darkness, while declaring your dependence upon the kingdom of light, trusting Him for everything, allowing Him to set you free. Because those who are free in Christ are free indeed, completely, totally, always. You stand with me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the freedom that's found only in you. There's no other name, heaven under heaven, by which we can be saved, but Jesus, Jesus alone. Lord, thank you that you paid the price, Lord, that you defeated the grave, you defeated sin, you overcame the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome you. The light pushes back the darkness. Lord, I pray that in our lives, individually, personally, at this morning, that we would live as children of the light. Lord, that we would live in the kingdom that we've been brought into by your grace and love, by your sacrifice, by your resurrection. Lord, help us to live as children of the light, to lean into you. And when the enemy wants to deceive us or to remind us of something, Lord, let it be something that turns us to the light. That once again, we put our trust, our hope, our faith, our confidence, everything in you. Lord, may you be glorified.